Hi, I'm Mark Goodfellow. I'm the lead elder of Church on the Way. I want to introduce us as a church to you, who we are. I want to tell you that we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we want to make him known throughout the earth. We want to work with God the Holy Spirit as he leads us and guides us in endeavoring to do this. We want to just tell you that we're a family that works together. We're united as one. We're on a journey to fulfill the purposes of God in our life. And we encourage you, as we have this pioneering heart, to go to the nations and to preach this gospel, not only in our nation of South Africa, but the nations of the earth, to reach out with the good news that we find in Jesus Christ. So in this process, we really do believe that we are a church on the go. We're on this journey, this adventure together. We don't have all the answers, but we do know who has the answer, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So come and join us as we work together and we work on this journey to fulfill his plans and purposes for our lives. God bless you. I would ask you please to turn to your left and to your right and to greet those that you may not have said good morning to this morning. Say hello, how are you? Are you smiling? Is it a good day? Especially want to say welcome to Marion and Lana. It's good to have you with us. Haven't seen you some time, but welcome. Good to have you with us. And you know, I'm just so pleased that we serve the living God. And Didier, just thank you for being obedient to the Lord. I know we got a program and we want to keep through a program, but when God meets with us, we need to be obedient to that. And God wants to meet with us and he loves us and he wants to be there for us and comfort us and guide us and direct us. Now, I've got a lot to say, but I want to rejoice first. Jimmy just gave his heart to the Lord. Now, we rejoice with you, Jimmy. The angels in heaven are rejoicing. This is the first day of your life. Follow Jesus. And we're going to walk with you, and you're going to find what a wonderful thing is to know Jesus. I did that when I was 16, and I've never looked back. It's going to cost you your life. It's going to cost you life, but Jesus gives his life for you. And I know you've had a past, and we've all had a past, but you have a future. And I want to say you have an incredible future. And yeah, you got Norman, 80 years old, rejoicing in the Lord. And you got life to live. And we all got life to live. And we want to rejoice with that. Isn't that good news? I want to just say to you, I know we don't do crusades and that, but we must all do the work of evangelists. Tell your families about Jesus and get them to confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, because he changes people. He changes people. He changed you and he changed me. And our lives are never the same again. And yes, we got life to live. But how do we do life without him? I don't know. It's an impossibility. It really is an impossibility. And I really want to encourage you. So we've had a wonderful few days of praying with fasting. And I now got a message and hopefully I'm going to get there. But I wanted to give you some feedback on the prayer and fasting, because God has been speaking. And I really believe we've got to hear what he's saying to us as a church and to go forward in what he's saying to us. And look, fasting is not easy, but it puts the flesh down, but enables us to hear God. And it's been wonderful, the contributions that have come through. And I'm sure I haven't got all of them, what have been shared, but I want to go through some of them, what God has been saying to us. Firstly, I want to just say there was an encouragement. Prayer and fasting is not an event. It's a lifestyle. It really is a lifestyle. And I really want to encourage us. I haven't spoken to the elders yet, but I want to really suggest is that we set aside our Wednesdays that we get together for family prayer to actually to do it with fasting. And just trust God in that, because there's something that happens that the heavens get opened up, that as we continue to seek God. In this process, the Lord was also encouraged us to continue in our prayer, to increase prayer in our lives. You see, prayer is a discipline of the Spirit. It's not something that comes naturally for a human, but when we love God, this is our conversation with him, and as an outworking, not only to bring requests and stand in faith, but to intercede. And we are God's voice on the earth. And when we begin to pray and we work together with him, we change this world. If the church does not pray, the world is going to die. I really do believe God never gives up on the world, but when we pray, we are his life in here. You know, the attack on the church, the devil is actually working that many churches do not pray. Many Christians don't pray anymore. And we see, and I'm not pointing finger, but in America, many churches got to a place where there's lack of prayer. And the late Andrew Murray used to say the prayerlessness is sin. And I wanted to say, as we come to know Christ and we walk with him, we learn to pray and we learn to work together with God in that. So I want to say we're going to continue with prayer and fasting into this next season that God has got for us. Then the next point is from that scripture from Psalm 46, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I think the Lord arrested us with that portion of scripture, because I think so often we forget that he is God. Not only is he the creator, but he's God Almighty, and he is the one that is all-powerful, all-omnipotent, omniscient, and he's the one that we can trust, and he wants us to know that. But it's going to take for us a time to wait and be still and listen. And in our busyness, and we all face that problem in the lives that we live here in busy Johannesburg or busy South Africa, we run in and we don't know how to be still. And I want to just say, I know load shedding is an issue at the moment, but hasn't it actually forced some of us to be still? Hey, we've actually had to be still, and I know it's frustration that we want to get back into our normal way of living, but I want to just say there's something of sitting around a campfire, when you just sit at a campfire and you look into that campfire and no one's saying anything, and you actually, there's just something that happens. And I want to just say it's the same thing of being still before the Lord and knowing that his Lord is being still and looking into his face and just allowing him. You don't even have to hear anything, but just know God and for he is. Because I really do believe in the opportunities and the challenges that we have before us. We need to know that he is God. As people have come this morning and Didier has actually shared about God doing the impossible, he can. He can, and he wants to do that in and through us. Then the next point was Revelation 2 verse 7 says, who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. God is speaking. God is speaking to us all the time. God never stops speaking to us. And are we obeying his voice? We see from the Old Testament is that when Israel was disobedient to the voice of God, it didn't go well with him. But when they obeyed the Lord, it went well with him. And I ask you the question, are you listening and are you doing what God is wanting you to do? Sometimes we hear the Lord and then we don't want to do it. But I want to just say to you, will you submit yourself to God's voice within you, to his instruction through his word, and do that, and you'll find that it'll go well with you. The next encouragement was that to know that God is in control and we are under his control. The world and even South Africa, what we're going through at this time is there are difficulties ahead of us. But the reality, he is in control, and we must have that assurance in our hearts. And how do we get that assurance in our hearts? And it came through encouragement that we must give thanks in all circumstances. We need to praise him. We need to thank him. I know that's a very difficult thing to do, is to give thanks in all circumstances. But even, can I say, can we be thankful to God for load shedding? This sounds ridiculous, eh? But the scripture says that, be thankful in all circumstances. Whatever you're going through, whatever circumstances that you have, because we need to turn what we're going through into praise and to glorify him and to honor him. And when we do that, he is honored and he is glorified. The next encouragement is that came through Elsa is that God wants to lead us by his Holy Spirit. The church needs to be led by him. The Holy Spirit has been sent. Didier even shared us that with me this morning is that the Holy Spirit is sent to actually help us. And we need to call upon his name, and he wants to help us through life, and he will guide us and he will lead us. We are not meant to be all-knowing, We don't know all things. We don't know where to go. And God wants us to be totally dependent upon Him and to be led by the Holy Spirit. The next one, someone got a picture of a tuning fork. We need to be in tune with God, with His word and His will. And all of us get out of tune, all of us. And we all got to get to a place where we come to a place where we get in line with God's word and His will. And then Psalm 27, verse 14, wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. And I want to preach into that if we get some time today. I don't think I'll get through it all. But wait for the Lord. It's something very important. I really believe it's part of our makeup, that when God calls us to Him, is to be waiting upon Him and to working together with Him and allow Him to bring strength through our relationship as we wait upon Him and we get courage through that. The next one is to the encouragement that came to us as a church is that He is the chief shepherd and we need to listen to His voice. And Psalm 23, not only that He'll be with us through the valleys and the dark times, but also that His rod and staff will comfort me. And I want to just say, it came out, I think it was on Friday night, is that God has got a rod too. Are you prepared to be disciplined by the Lord? That's a hard one. We want His comfort and we want it to go well with us. But when we have error in our ways, are we prepared to say, Lord, show me the error of my ways? And you know, when God does it, it is a comfort. It brings life. If someone else comes and tells you something wrong, we normally reject it and we say, you're not speaking the truth. But I want to just say, let God bring discipline to your life and allow Him to correct you and direct you. We all need correction. We all need direction in our lives, and He wants to do that. The next encouragement was to be fruitful. And it came from Genesis, as God blessed Adam and Eve to go and have dominion and to live and to multiply. God wants us to be fruitful. And Jesus says also that you may be fruitful in this thing. And I believe this, the season ahead of us, God wants us to be fruitful in our outworking of Christ. There needs to be fruitfulness, not just in our physical being, but in our person, in our emotions, in our spiritual beings. There needs to be fruitfulness. And then another encouragement Quinton brought out, that God spoke to Mary and to some others. And one day when God speaks, are you ready to hear when God actually speaks to you? There's a time when He actually speaks to you. And are we listening to hear? Are we looking forward? Are we putting our hand to the plow? And let's not be like Lot's wife that looked back and was turned into a pillar of salt. Jeremiah 33:3, ask me and I will tell you your remarkable secrets you do not know about the things to come. The next encouragement was to be close to the Lord, walk in His presence and carry His presence with you. And we spent a wonderful time on Friday night just breaking bread and spending time in the presence of God. No agenda, just being with Him. And what an assurance and what an encouragement it was. And I encourage you to take time to walk in His presence. And then Ivan brought in James chapter 5. He said, verse 7 and 8, be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the latter rains. You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. And what Ivan was just encouraging, we can prepare the ground, we can plant the seed, but we cannot bring the rain and we cannot make it grow. And the same in all our lives. Be sure that you're doing what God's calling to you in that patient endurance. Be patient in sowing His word into your heart and allow Him to pour His rain upon you and to make it grow in your life. I cannot make you grow in Christ. Only God can. But you need the incorruptible word and the seed of God within you. So may we be encouraged with that came out of that time. And one of the key aspects, and that's why I want to focus upon it, that came up on the three nights that we were praying, was waiting upon God or waiting for God. And that's what I want to try and get through in the next half an hour, waiting on God. And that's the title of my message, Waiting for God. You know, when we look at us as believers, what differentiates us from the world? So often when we look at us, we're not differentiated at all. We like the world. We live normal lives, and we got to go to work, and we got to go to school, and even in our demeanors and the way we carry ourselves, there's nothing differentiates us. But I want to say the thing and the defining thing that can actually differentiate us is when we wait upon the Lord. It's a waiting in our personal lives and waiting about making decisions. And so often when we're in business meetings and even in families, we will rush ahead when we make decisions. Well, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And we never get to place and say, the Lord's will be done. And I think we've forgotten that. The saints of old always used to say, may the Lord's will be done. And that takes waiting, that we've got to get to a place where we're going to allow ourselves to do the Lord's will. Because when we give our lives, as Jimmy has given his life today, we are not Lord of our lives anymore. God is in charge, and we follow him, and we allow him to take the initiative in our lives, and he leads us into this outworking of doing his will in our lives. And I love it when people say to me, well, I need to go and hear what God has got to say about that first. I'm not going to make a decision. And I want to just say that's a key component in all our lives. We've got into a world that wants to run quickly and make decisions, but sometimes we need to get to a place where we're going to wait and we're going to hear God and get that assurance in our hearts that he's going to tell us what to do in those times. I think I've shared before, and I say it again, even in business, there was a businessman in America during the Great Depression, and he was he dealt with shoes, and he grew this little business, and the way that he grew this business was waiting upon God, to hear God when decisions had to be made. He went before the Lord. He didn't rush into anything, and he waited. And when a big key, he tells the story of when a big key decision came to make this big contract, and they wanted him to sign the contract, he said, I need to go and wait upon the Lord and go and hear what he's saying about this. And he'd actually built an office where his offices were, and he had a separate room he called his waiting room, where he actually went and waited upon the Lord to hear what the Lord was actually saying to him. And God spoke to him in his heart and spoke to him through scripture. And you know, his ways became very successful. He was a very successful businessman. And I want to just say, God has given us this incredible ability to wait upon him, not only to grow our relationship, but to make our ways successful. And God wants us to be successful and differentiate. So I want to encourage you, do not be rushing into decisions. The Bible is scattered with people that did not inquire upon the Lord and were failures. And I will also just read some of those. I'm going to speak about Abraham about this too. But before we can wait upon the Lord, there's got to be something in our hearts. There's got to be something in our hearts that we want to wait upon the Lord. Psalm 46 verse 10, be still and know that I am God, has got to be outworked. And I want to say firstly that we need to have zeal and we need to have a jealousy for God. In Psalm 69 verse 9, David says, the zeal for your house has consumed me. And then in John chapter 2 verse 13 to 17, Jesus came to the temple and they were turning the temple into a marketplace. And he took a whip and then he whipped them and he chased them all out. And then it comes at the end there and it says here in verse 17, his disciples remembered that it is written, the zeal for your house will consume me. So Jesus was consumed with the purposes and the plans of God. He wasn't consumed with his own desires, his own goals. He was consumed for the kingdom of God. And that what actually turned him into something that purposed and ran hard. In John chapter 2, verse 16, it says, the zeal for your house has consumed me. And then Elijah, in 1 Kings 19, verse 14, he says, I've been very jealous for the Lord, for the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant and thrown down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword. And only I am left, and they seek my life and want to take it away. But God never rebuked Elijah for having a zeal and a jealousy for the Lord, but yet he used him to continue to outwork that zeal for him. So I encourage you, are you zealous for the Lord? Or are you zealous for your next holiday? Or are you zealous for your next purchase? Or are you zealous for the next TV series? Or are you zealous for the next T20? We go in there tomorrow, Andrew and I, tomorrow evening. Not wrong to do that, but I'm saying, are you zealous for the Lord? Matthew 5 verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. There needs to be a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. I love it when the students I see at university and they go to university and they get into their courses and all of a sudden they're not at school anymore and they follow in the passions of their lives and they're hungry and they're thirsty, and they seem to so excel in the courses that they are doing because this is what they're wanting to do. They've been through school for 12 years and had to be exposed to all these things, and now they can do what their heart is, and they're hungry and they're thirsty for that. But are we hungry and thirsty for God? Only you can determine that. Only you can determine that you're going to be hungry and thirsty for him. And then seek for the Lord with all your heart. Jeremiah 29 verse 13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And in Psalm 119 verse 10, with my whole heart I seek you. And I want to say that's the groundwork behind this thing. If you want to wait upon the Lord, you've got to believe that God is your only source. And you've got to seek and you've got to wait for him. And when you wait for him, he will meet with you in a wonderful way. So the next point is waiting for or waiting on God is a spiritual discipline. And Isaiah 64 verse 4, from old no one has heard or perceived by the ear, no eye has seen a God beside you who acts for those who wait for him. God acts for us who wait for him. And I think there's a secret in that, is that when we wait upon the Lord, we actually turn the hand of God to work on our behalf. And we call it prayer. There's an aspect of prayer in that. But when we wait upon the Lord, because we get instruction from him, and he starts to act upon our behalf. And I want to say there's nothing greater than seeing the hand of God actually work in your life rather than your hand work. All of us are capable, and all of us are taught to make a plan, and we all make a plan when it comes to difficult circumstances. But are we going to get to a place where we're going to actually rely upon the Lord and allow him and his hand to work on our behalf? But we have to wait upon him to do that. It says here in Psalm 25, verse 3, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. And I think that's the encouragement that the Lord actually gives to us. When you wait upon the Lord, he will not put you to shame. He will not abandon you when you trust him. And I know waiting upon the Lord takes time. It's not a matter of thing that just happens. It sometimes he causes us to just be still. And when the timing of the Lord actually works out, he will not bring you to shame. Can I just say there was the circumstances of this building. We had to renew this rental of the lease here. And you all know what that was going through, the astronomical rental increase. And we went back with a proposition. But that took a waiting upon the Lord and allow him to do that. And he never put us to shame. And I want to say, God will never put you to shame. And even if the course direction changes, he is always for you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. In Psalm 62, verse 1, it says, for God alone my soul waits in silence. So we turn to God. He's the one that we turn to. We don't turn to man. And yes, we need to work and collaborate with men. And we need to work on team with men. But we need to turn to God and wait upon him. God alone, that's where we wait in silence and God comes through. So what are the results of waiting on him alone? We give God his rightful place as Lord of our lives. That's why Jesus said, you need to confess me as Lord, because he wants to be the owner of our lives. He wants to be the head of our lives. He wants to bring us to a place where he has the capability to guide us and direct us. You see, God knew us before we were formed in the womb. And he had a plan for our lives. And he wants that plan to be fulfilled for every one of our lives. And yes, he works together with us. But we need to allow him to direct us. We are not robots. We're not puppets. But he is the one that guides the course of our lives and wants to bring us into the fullness of that. And it's also the right way to come into right relationship with him. There's just something when we meet with God, God is not man. When a couple get together and they form a relationship, they go out and they do dating, they go and do dinners together, they do movies together. But God does it differently because God is spirit and we need to grow in a relationship with him. And there's just something that the scripture teaches us is that we need to come to a place that we'll be still and we will wait upon him. Now, I don't know if you've grown in this practice. It's something that you've got to learn. It takes time. You've got to set time aside, and you've got to go and speak to your God and say, I want to learn to wait upon you. Holy Spirit, will you teach me? And I can assure you, God will encourage you in that, because there are things, and I'm telling you now, even now in your own life, you're facing circumstances in your own life, you're wanting to make decisions, you don't know what to do, take it to the Lord in prayer and wait upon Him, allow Him to speak through the scriptures, allow Him to speak through the circumstances of your life, and you will see He will guide you and direct you. God is a God. He's a sure God, and He leads us into all truth. So when we acknowledge God as our only source, liberty comes. Liberty comes because we realize we have no one else but Him. And unfortunately, in life, sometimes we run to other sources in life, but we need to turn to Him in everything and allow Him to be our full source in our lives. And remember, when we wait upon Him, He is a sovereign God. His timing and His initiative is absolutely perfect, and we need to be in a place of absolute dependence upon Him and allow His sovereignty to work. You see, the plan that God has for my life and the plan He has for your life is very different. He's brought a plan for us to be together in this place, but the path that you are walking in His sovereignty is very different, and no one will ever walk that path that you are walking. But He has a plan for you in His sovereignty, and God has not given up on you. And I just love what Norman said here today, that we don't retire. God's got a plan right to the end, and He wants to encourage you in that walking with Him, to encourage you to go and fulfill His plans and purposes. There's a mutual waiting. Isaiah 30 verse 18, therefore the Lord waits to be gracious to you. As much as we wait upon the Lord is waiting for us. He's there waiting for us. He's waiting for you in your closet. He's waiting for you when you turn upon Him, and out of that, it brings life to you. So what is the benefits of this waiting? It brings stability to our lives, because then we're not fretting. We're not being anxious about our lives. We come to a place where we know who we trust. Trust in the Lord and lean on your understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways and He will make your path straight. It's a wonderful thing to be know that, yes, God is absolutely in control. It brings us into maturity. Maturity is not something that we got a number of degrees behind us. Maturity is we know who our God is. And we know that He's for us. He's not against us. And also what it does when we wait upon the Lord, it brings His authority and His power into our lives. And where does that come from? Isaiah 40 verse 3. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. And they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So what happens? There's an exchange of strength. Our strength gets exchanged for God's strength, and God enables us. We talk about that being the anointing. And the anointing is not only for when we preach the word. The anointing is for your workplace. The anointing is to be a father. The anointing is to be a mother. The anointing is to be a scholar. God wants to enable us with His strength and His ability to flow through us. And that's a promise for every one of us. We say, okay, Lord, come through, and He will come through for you, and He will reveal His strength to you. So we take an example from Abraham. Abraham, we see in the scriptures, is a spiritual father to us. He's a pattern of our faith. And Abraham was called by God to leave Haran when he was 75 years old and to go to the land of Canaan. And God gave him a promise that he'll have an heir, and that heir will be a nation. But what happened? The negative with Abraham. This is when they became impatient. And after 10 years, Sarah and Abraham were waiting for this heir to come, and she was barren. And she said, well, I've got a plan. And she went to Abraham and said, what we'll do, I'll give you another wife. I'll give you Hagar, my maidservant, and you can have a child with her. And with that, then there'll be inheritance. And so that happened. Hagar became the wife of Abraham, and Ishmael was born. And the word Ishmael, the name Ishmael means wild donkey. And that what was birthed. Ishmael became a wild donkey, and there'd be enmity between him and Israel. And today we see that worked out in that Arabian Peninsula. The Arabs, which are from Ishmael, are against Israel, which is from Jacob, because of that decision of impatience. Abraham and Sarah weren't in a place of patience to wait for God. God had given a promise and said, I will fulfill this and I'll give you an heir. But they went ahead and came up with their own plan. How many times do all of us, God's given us a promise even that we see on the wall here, God's given us promises and purposes for the church. And how do we go and try and work out our things through our impatience? I've got a plan. I'll know what to do. And when we do that and we run with our impulses and we don't wait upon the Lord and we say, Lord, I can help you. I know what I'm doing. What does it do? It creates a problem. And yes, does God work it for the good? Absolutely. He can work it for the good. But actually, that problem can get even worse. And I want to say that was never God's plan. But Abraham redeemed himself and he continued to trust God by faith. And at 99, God exchanged his strength in their dead bodies of Abraham and Sarah, and they conceived Isaac. And that promise came, and there today we have the people of Israel that came through Isaac. A promise was fulfilled. But one thing we've got to learn is that because of, in a sense, Abraham's impatience, there was 13 years when Abraham walked with no revelation of God because he wasn't waiting and trusting upon God. There's an emptiness. And I want to just say to you is that in our impatience, in doing things our own way and not trusting in God, we can walk in a place and we can walk in a lack of revelation of Christ. You can be in the church, you can be serving God, you can love the Lord, but you can have a lack of revelation of Christ. Because there may be something in your life because you are not allowing God to be supreme authority over your life. And I want to just say to you, how do we get out of that? Yes, we must get into a place of faith again, but we need to repent. Because God's got a plan for your life. And God wants the very best for your life. And the best is a revelation of Him. Because out of that revelation of Him, there's an outworking of His life in and through you. And I want to encourage you is, if you're not in that place of hearing God and walking in His promises, come to that place where you can come into that wholesomeness of waiting upon Him and receive His revelation. Hebrews 11, verse 11, by faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he was considered faithful who had made the promise. Abraham got back to faith. So don't walk in a place of darkness where there's no revelation of the living God. God wants you to do that. Abraham got to a place, again, those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. And then there's this aspect of harmonizing with God. Romans 8, verse 27 from the NLT, and the Father who knows all hearts knows the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's will. God has a will, God has a way, and there's a harmony in the heavens according to His will, where He's the supreme conductor and He's guiding things, and He wants us to come into step with Him. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 to 8, tells us about there's a season and a time for everything under heaven. There's a time to be born, there's a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek, a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to cast away, a time to tear, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, and a time for war and a time for peace. God created time, and we've got to get in time with Him. You see, the theory of relativity that came through Albert Einstein, which God created, space and time come together. And we've got to find the place and the time that we work together with God. And God's timing is absolutely important because that's when we find the harmony of God. When we walk ahead of God, we come out of His timing. When we walk behind God, we come out of it. We've got to be in the exact timing of God. And we mustn't get into a place where we try and do our own thing. We've got to get to a place where we do God's thing at the right time. Amos 3:3 says, do two walk together unless they have agreed to meet? This is God and man walking together. We can walk with God. We can walk in time with Him. And God wants us to be in place. Now, we've watched the worship team, and I love the worship team did so well today. And they were in time. The notes were played on time. The songs were sung in time. But you see, there can be a time. Robbie was just saying during the week, we're not tuned in at times. When they're not in time, we don't know. We don't hear because they are tuned in. We've got to be in a place where we are tuned in, that we play the right note at the right time with God. And God wants us to be in harmony with Him and see the notes as we live our lives with Him. God will bring out His timing. So often when we find with the Lord, His timing is His will. And so often we want God to do it now, but it doesn't take place. And so often God speaks to us, and same with Abraham, there's a purpose that He talks. His time is worked out according to His will, His sovereignty. And when we've got to wait, and that's where the patience comes. And some of you have promises that you've received from God. Even now, God has birthed that seed in your heart, but the fruition of that is according to His time. And isn't that incredible? That God plans that for every one of our lives. There are promises for every one of you. I don't know what they all are, but God has a promise for the gestation of that seed, of His word, to come through. We were in Zimbabwe visiting family over December, and we went to go and visit a man who's turned his garden into, I don't know what you call it. He adds no water to it. It's just natural leaves, and everything grows. But he showed us a palm tree. I can't remember its name. But he said, this tree comes from the Cheredzi area, and the gestation period of the seed is 9 years. It sits in the ground, and nothing happens. And then after 9 years, this thing germinates and it starts to shoot. And within a year, its fronds are some of the biggest fronds that you get from any palm tree. I can't remember the name of the palm tree. But that's incredible. This incorruptible seed, this word of God that God's placed within you, the promises that He's placed within you, not everything has come to fruition at this point in time. But as you wait upon the Lord, He will bring it to fruition. He will bring it through. And that's why we've got to be in that place of allowing Him to come and bring to birth those seeds that He's placed within our hearts, the plans that He has for us. And then lastly, waiting is a distinctive mark of God's people on the earth. In 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 8 to 10, it talks about Paul commending the church there that they've turned from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven. There's a waiting that we need to wait for, is that Jesus is coming back for us. There's a waiting that we need to learn that we have a hope. And I want to encourage you here today, and I have spoken about it before, Jesus is coming to fetch us. This is part of our waiting. The church is going to be raptured according to Thessalonians. The Son of God is returning. He's coming to take us back to be with Him. But we need to be prepared as the bride of Christ. We need to be prepared for the Son to return. We need to have waiting in our heart. As the scriptures encourage us, we need to have in our heart, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus, come. The church has been waiting for 2,000 years for Jesus to come. We need to be waiting upon Him. And that's why we must be in His presence. That's why we must be hearing His voice. We must be allowing Him to do His will in our lives, because He will come like a thief in the night. But we need to be ready. We need to have this in our heart. And this is what differentiates that we know our future. We know where we are going. We're going to be with our Lord forever, and He's coming to fetch us. There's a tribulation coming, and there's a millennium, and there's a second coming, and we'll talk more about that. But we need to have that hope. But the world is pessimistic. It doesn't have a hope. The world is falling away. Its morality is falling away. Many people do not want to get married anymore. They do not want to have children. They don't see the value of family anymore. What's the use of having a family? There's all this nuclear threat. The world is going through famines and earthquakes. What's the use of that? No, we as the church, we have this weight in our heart. We know there's a future. We know that God is intervening. We can see and have hope and expectation that God has gone before us. Hebrews 9 verse 27 or 28, it says, He comes to save those who are eagerly waiting for Him. Salvation is to be revealed for us. And Matthew 25, 1 to 13 talks about the 10 young virgins, and about 5 of them were foolish and 5 of them were wise. And those that were wise had their flasks full of oil, which is the Holy Spirit, and were ready for Jesus to come, the bridegroom. So I encourage you today, as God has spoken to us through the time of prayer and fasting, and even today, this discipline of knowing that God is in control. Be still and I am God, and working out your relationship with Him and coming into a place of harmony with Him and getting to sync with Him to ensure that you're walking along His path. And I ask you a question today. Are you in harmony with God? Are you like Abraham, where you may be being impatient in your walk? Or are you in a place where you know that you're in the direct will of God and allow him to bring you in sync with him, that you walk in harmony with this living God, that you can walk in the fullness of a revelation of Christ? And I want to just say, in the last point is here, waiting for God is not easy. And there's something, rules that we have, and I want to just say a traffic light is a good example of waiting upon the Lord in our decision making, in what we are doing. And we know a traffic light has a green light, has an amber light, and has a red light. And when we're in our spirits, because God speaks to us through our spirits, we are spirit beings, we are spirit, soul, and body, and as he leads us and guides us, when we're facing a situation and we're waiting upon him, not only the still small voice, and when he's guiding us, when we have that gnawing in our spirits, that we know that it's not right, that is God's red light. Don't go and do that. Don't do that. And be obedient to that. You'd be surprised as you learn to look within your spirit, because that's where God is. Look within your spirit and allow him to guide you and direct you. You will find when you obey that, you'll find your way prosperous. And when you have the sense of peace about a situation, that you know your mind's not getting in the way, your reasoning's not getting in the way, but in your spirit you have this peace, then what do? You go ahead with it. But if there's this sense of caution, don't do it, then stop. And then I really do suggest, even in those times of decision making, it's also good to refer to God's word and to get counsel of godly men and women, those around you that can pray with you to hear God. Sometimes big decisions are not meant to be made alone. They're meant to be made together in families, or families need to make those decisions. You need to make decisions with fellow believers, with those in your life group. Those are others that you trust, and allow God to guide and direct you. Can I just say, us as elders, we are servants. We are shepherds of you. We are not better than you in any way. But can I ask you, please, and I know I'm putting myself under pressure when I'm saying this, when you have big things to make, decisions to make, and you need to seek counsel, yes, seek the Lord first. Go to his word, wait upon him. But don't come and tell me I've made the decision and you've made a life-changing decision and you haven't come and sought our perspective. God has raised us up as shepherds of the church, not just to stand here as figures with title. We don't have title anyway. But I'm telling you, there's a perspective, there's an anointing upon those that have been raised up as elders in the church that actually can guide and direct and give you perspective. We are not here to tell you what to do with your life, but we are here to bring perspective. And I want to just encourage you. I've seen those that have submitted and have come and said, what do you think? And we've given our perspective. It's gone well with them. But then there are others that have come and said, no, this is what God's told me to do. And I'm not saying God hasn't spoken to them, but they've gone ahead and they rushed ahead without getting perspective. It hasn't always gone as well as they expected to go. So I want to encourage you. We are a family. We work together as a family. As much as we're waiting upon God, there's this thing of decision making and taking things in life. And please, we are available. As much as you think we are busy, and yes, and we do have times that we are busy, but we will make time for you to actually sit and chat with you and to pray those things through. We are there to help you, to guide you and direct you. Some of you have got some big decisions. Some of you got small decisions. I don't want to know what you're going to wear. That's fine. But maybe you're deciding to go and relocate to another nation. That's a big decision. And I want to encourage you, come and pray with us. Show me what God is saying to you. Get God's word, wait upon him, let him come through for you. Some of you got business decisions to make. I don't know. These are big decisions. And you've got to hear God in these things. So we want you to walk with God's peace, and you want to walk with God's blessing and God's outworking of his provision in your lives. We want the very best for you, and we want to do it with God and wait with him. And I just, as I share this message with you today, I just trust that your strength will be exchanged for his strength, and you will walk with him, walk in his presence, and know that he is God. May I pray for you. Father, we just thank you. Every one of us are on a journey. We have come into knowing you, as you have taught us, but we don't always know your ways. And Father, you've expounded through your word that it's a key element to seek you with all our heart and to wait upon you, to hear you, to hear your voice, to hear your word, to work together with your people. And Lord, there's a journey ahead of all of us. And Father, I know that you want us to be successful, and we don't want to be impatient like Abraham was, but yet redeemed himself and then walked by faith. We want to be in that place that we walk by faith and have a revelation of you and a revelation of your will and your way. And Father, I ask, will you bless every one of us as we take time to walk with you, not to do this independently of you, but to be absolutely dependent upon you and see that your life and the outworking of your will be fulfilled in every one of our lives. So Lord, we give ourselves to you. We belong to you. You're our head. You're our Lord. We have no other way. You're our great shepherd. You're our chief shepherd. We will serve no other. And we ask, Lord, will you guide us and lead us and direct us as we trust you now, in the name of Jesus. Amen.